Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with both Nick Bertha, the Director of Wealth and Trust Planning and President of Field Point Private Trust Company, as well as Adam Ercole, the Director of Commercial Banking at Field Point Private, the fastest-growing private bank serving entrepreneurs, families, businesses, and institutions. And gentlemen, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Hey, Eric. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey, you bet, and great to have you both with us. Looking forward to hearing from you as well. Now, Adam, to kick things off today, and thanks for joining us, for business owners contemplating an eventual sale of their business, is there a single biggest threat to realizing the full financial value from what they've built? I think that's a great place to kick things off today.
Yeah, that's a great question. Getting started there, we use an analogy here at Field Point Private that we've been using for years here, and we call this time the red zone, and we're using that analogy as it relates to a football field. And generally speaking, the red zone, that's that area within the 20-yard line approaching the end zone, the goal, where, you know, typically speaking, someone is going to score or someone is going to get scored upon. It's where opportunity and risk really both pile up and become most intense. We believe for business owners that this red zone is generally in 5 to 7 year time frame before a sale or an liquidation event occurs as it relates to the life cycle of the business. You know, generally in terms of risks within that time frame, people are talking about competition, talking about just basic good luck or bad luck, or valuation cycles and macroeconomic impact that is, you know, more or less out of control of entrepreneurs. These are all necessary risks, and they're all unique to each business and circumstance. The one risk all businesses share equally, though, to answer your question, is the unnecessary risk of exposing too much of an eventual sale gain to taxes. You know, we have found over our careers and working with entrepreneurs that this can extract 10 to even 20 years of valuation from proceeds if not planned for accordingly. You know, we talk to business owners every day, and it's really easy to see how focused they are on building this business, day-to-day operations, month-to-month, year-to-year. Something like mitigating the valuation or task risk for down the line, it doesn't seem to make it to the top of mind and top of the queue, as the chaos of growing and maintaining a business can be distracting at times.
And also, Adam, while we have you, and we'll get to taxes in just a minute, but talk about valuation, and that would be like an act of God. Are there steps entrepreneurs can take to mitigate the risk of hitting a bad point in the cycle?
Yeah, there definitely are. It's a good thought, around building fixed assets, building proprietary valuation beyond revenue through technology, through intellectual property, and again, you know, even through fixed assets that have a long lifespan. These are typically ways that business owners can control as much as they possibly can control. In maximizing the value generally, one of the most important things that an entrepreneur can do is to make sure that their key members are locked in, make sure that their key revenue streams are locked in. We can do this, golden parachutes, golden handcuffs, making sure that there's equity shares given, making sure options, or, you know, even looking to just ensure that the key folks that would be transitioning this business that can present as much value as possible aren't exposed to an easy exit in the event of a change of ownership.
Also, Nick, great to have you with us. And if you would help us out, can employee stock plans, also called ESOPs, be part of this as well?
An ESOP, an employee stock ownership plan, it's a powerful technique, underutilized, but powerful. You can think of it as a way to create a private liquidity event, particularly when you engage with the technique of a leveraged ESOP, which means that the ESOP, which is a trust, borrows money from a bank, and it purchases the owner's shares. Those shares are now in the trust. The loan is collateralized by them. And then the company makes annual contributions because it's an employee benefit plan, like a defined benefit, defined contribution, and they can deduct those contributions. And again, those contributions are used to repay the loan. So it's a real win-win-win. The owner can sell, you know, some, all, or none of his shares if he gets liquidity event. The employees now own those shares in trust for their benefit, and the company can pay off the loan on a tax deductible, tax saver basis. So it's really a very powerful technique to do many good things, including create liquidity for the owner.
Nick, really appreciate the feedback there as well. That is helpful. Also, talk to us about the tax piece. What is the tax risk and how can owners reduce it?
Yeah, again, a really good question, Eric. I think what we're talking about here is pre-liquidity planning. And at Field Point, you know, we tell our clients, if you're going to sell or want to sell your company, you really need to start looking at it 5 years ahead of time. That's your time horizon. Sometimes I know you do a lot of this. You tell people to assemble a team. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, and then I'll pick up back again on tax.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, all this that we're talking about, Nick, you know, talking about the growth of a business is from establishing it right down to the key piece that we're talking here and the threats and planning for the exit. You know, we are always advising clients to make sure that team, you know, is trusted advisors comprised typically of not just professionals like ourselves that specialize in both, you know, capital markets and planning, but also incorporating CPA. And if the CPA firm typically does not have the capability, some type of valuation analyst, as well as attorneys of various disciplines. Especially at a time like now with the risk, and we're talking about, you know, potentially losing 10 to 20 years of valuation, turning the company over to employees through the ESOP, as you mentioned. It's also great to consider having second opinions, as we would with anything as sensitive as this. So, you know, in light of a valuation analyst, it's worth the investment and the time to consider a second opinion. So the facts are there and entrepreneurs can really control as many variables as possible.
Absolutely. And then, you know, and then that does take us to the tax planning aspect of it. And we're talking about estate planning and income tax planning or minimization. And I like to quote one of my law school professors. He said the estate tax is a voluntary tax. You can pay it or you can plan around it. That's, you know, that's not 100% true, but it's largely true. And oh, by the way, it's a 40% at the top level. I'd also say, you know, there's a saying, don't let tax be the tail that wags the dog, and that's true, right? I mean, it's important, but it should not, you know, steer the ship 100%. The accountants have a favorite saying, BLT, which means business, law, tax, in that order. And again, I think that's the better lens to view it through. Having said that, you know, there's a lot of planning techniques, you know, clearly in our time frame here, we don't have the time to get into them other than to mention them, but I will. In estate planning, it's all about acronyms, right? We have GRATS, Grantor Retained Annuity Trust, Sales to Intentionally Defective Grantor Trust Gidgets. You know, you can even make simple gifts to an irrevocable trust. There's charitable tools as well. Something called a charitable remainder unit trust, a CRUT. You can gift to a private foundation, donor advised fund. You know, I can go on for a long time, but just be aware that there's a whole toolkit of techniques that are really trust and income tax savings oriented that are available to you. I like to say, you know, gifting, this is all gifting, right? You're gifting either to your family or to a charitable trust. And the in the estate plan community, we like to say gifting is like voting in Chicago. Eric, you should do it early and you should do it often. So, you know, and the key to a lot of this stuff, and Eric touched on it, is low valuations, right? Particularly early in the process, you want to get assets out of your estate at the lowest value you can so that you pay the least gift tax or exemption against against gift tax that you can possibly do it. So low valuations are ideal. Now, sort of maybe counterintuitively, after the transaction, You know, say it's a stock for stock, right? You want a high valuation when you gift after the transaction, because you're gifting to a charity almost always. The higher the valuation of the shares, the higher your charitable contribution deduction and the less income tax you pay. So you really have to be mindful and again, get good advice on all these choices. I'll spend another second, if I may, on valuation. And again, low valuation is usually what people are looking for early in the process to get assets out of their estate again at that low point. And you want to do it, you know, before you're pregnant in terms of a fair market value sales price, because then you're stuck with what that is. And the answer for sure is after a sales agreement has been signed, you can't do it, right? And that locks in the price. But there's a school of thought out there. It says once you sign a letter of intent, an LOI, that you're stuck with that price as well. That's not true. I mean, you're back to facts and you're back to circumstances. A letter of intent is a long way from an inked sales agreement. So be mindful, look down the road and start thinking about this, you know, as we always say, at least 5 years before you get there. There's just so much to do and to absorb and to know about.
Well, we certainly want to thank the both of you for joining us here today and all the insight and information shared on behalf of Field Point Private Trust Company. Before you go in conclusion, is there any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to mention as we do conclude today?
Yeah, Eric, I would I'd just like to say, you know, the obvious here, what we're talking about. Entrepreneurs spend their whole life building their business, caring for their business. And it's just, it's critical that all life cycles, all stages of the business are given attention. But often, you know, we just want to reinforce that we find towards the tail end of that as we prepare for the exit. Sometimes it can be taken for granted. And these are all key pieces that we're talking about that, again, to control as many variables as possible. And the biggest one from my perspective that I see a lot in analyzing the risk of a business, both from valuation, preservation of valuation, and even credit risk, is just focus on the people. And that's internally. We've engaged clients, entrepreneurs have engaged, grown, and retained their people. Make sure that that's in place, as we've talked about. And make sure that the third-party advisors and that team of professionals that are there, such as Nick and myself and other folks that we've discussed here, are there. So rely on the people. There's no need to feel alone in planning and making sure that all the hard work is actually realized and can be enjoyed.
Yeah, and let me just tag on to that, Adam, because those are all good points. It's a balance, right? I mean, on one hand, you want to minimize taxes, you want to structure your estate to take care of yourself and your family into the future, important things. On the other hand, you need and have a lifestyle that you want to continue. You're probably going to start another business, you're an entrepreneur, you're ongoing business plans. So you really need to balance the future, tax savings, the present, your current lifestyle, things you want to do in the future. If you get that balance right, like many things in life, then you hit the home run.
A great place to conclude. Really appreciate both of your final concluding remarks, Nick and Adam. And again, thanks for joining us. I'm sure listeners want to know how they could be in touch and get further information on Field Point Private Trust Company. Where's the best place online to do so?
Eric, best place you could find us. We got a website with all of our direct contact information. Nick, myself, and the rest of our great team of professionals is fieldpointprivate.com. You can find us on LinkedIn as well, Nick Bertha, Adam Mercoli. But the website would be the best place with all our full contact information, as well as additional scope of our services and advisory.
And of course, listeners, links will always be included within the show notes of this broadcast, so draw your attention to that for further details. Again, Mr. Bertha and Mr. Ercoli, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Hey, Eric, the pleasure was ours. Thanks so much.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Nick Bertha, Director of Wealth and Trust Planning and President of Field Point Private Trust Company, as well as Adam Mercoli, the Director of Commercial Banking at Field Point Private, the fast-growing private bank serving entrepreneurs, families, businesses, and institutions. And for all the details, visit fieldpointprivate.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.